Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Well, good morning, Christ Church. How's everybody doing this beautiful morning? It's a little bit warmer than yesterday. I'll take that. My name is Jovan. I'm the student pastor here at Christ Church, and I'm so excited to be here with you guys. Before I go any further, can we please give another round of applause for that awesome video for Veterans Day tomorrow? Veterans Day for me is a very special holiday. My father is a veteran. My grandfather is a veteran as well. So if you know anybody in your family, maybe that you're close to, go up to them and say thank you. It's awesome to be an American, no matter who's in the Oval Office. It's awesome to be an American because I serve one king and one king only. Amen. So, church, I'm here to continue, but also to complete our series that we've been in for the last several weeks called This is Home. And what we've been doing in this series is we've been talking about the purpose of the church, right? Because here's the thing. A lot of people, when it comes to church, they have their own assumption, right? They have their own idea of church, and pretty much they built that assumption, or they built that idea because of what they've experienced. And a lot of us sitting in this room today have experienced some church hurt, have experienced somebody saying something or somebody doing something to us, and we didn't expect it at all. So what we want to do is to help you guys to understand this one thing. This is the idea of church: a great God, broken people destined to do great things. That's the church. I don't know why I didn't get an amen, but it's a great God, broken people, flawed people like you and I, doing great things, not for us, but for him. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. So that's what we want to try to do in this series. So again, I'm continuing, but I'm also completing that the series for today. Will you guys bow your heads with me as I pray? Father, thank you just for this this opportunity. I love the words of that song, that your love is greater. Your love awakens me. And I can't just help but think about all the great things and all of the beauty about you and how it has awakened me. Father, I pray that today's message would soften the hearts of many. There are three type of people sitting in this room today: those who are hungry for more, those who have fallen away from you and need to reconnect in their faith, but also there are some in this room that don't know who you are at all. Father, I pray that your spirit would penetrate the hearts of all three, and it would awaken them to who you are, and they would be awed by your beauty and by your greatness. I pray that we hear you today, not me. I pray that we hear your voice, and we pray that we hear that your message would speak loud and clear to us today. In Jesus' name is who I pray. Amen. Well, church, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had someone take the fall for you before? And what I mean by taking the fall for you, like if they hadn't, if they didn't do what they did, you would have gotten into a lot of trouble. I mean, like you would have gotten into a lot of trouble. You had to face a lot of consequences because of your act that you committed. It makes me think of the time when I worked at Burger King when I was 17 years old. It was my very first job. One day, this is before I met Jesus, so relax. One day, I decided not to go to work. Just decided to play hooky, whatever. You know, I'm 17. You do dumb things when you're a teenager. And my manager caught wind of it. And he called me and he said, Anderson, were you at work today? So he wasn't like really sure, but he caught wind of it. So he's kind of asking me, trying to figure out whether if I was at work or not. And here I am freaking out. And not only did I not show up to work, I lied about being at work as well. I was like, yeah, I worked the full shift. What you mean? Like, you know, I was there the whole time. Well, he wasn't convinced. And so here's the thing. As we got off the phone, I was freaking out. I called everybody at my job. I called everybody. The one thing that I was worried about was losing my job. And so I called my supervisor, who happened to be working the day I was supposed to be there. And I said, hey, man, can you cover for me? Can you just do this one thing? And I know that it's just beyond what I really should be asking, but can you say that I was at work? And you know what my supervisor said? Sure. And I was like, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting that. Like, my supervisor, this is somebody that has a different a set of responsibilities. And he said, sure. And he covered for me. And I never forget that moment. Because of what he did for me, our relationship was established. Because of what he did for me, and how he came through for me, we established a relationship. And every time that I saw this guy, every time that I looked at him, every time that I went to work, every time that we were together, I remembered that moment. I remember what he did. I remember how he came through for me. And church, let me be honest with you. Our relationship with God is about remembering all that he has done for us. My relationship in my life is about remembering where God brought me from, where God brought me out of in my life. Because when I take a step back and I think about where I used to be, when I take a step back and I think about when I was hungry, God fed me. When I was thirsty, God gave me something to drink. When I was broke, anybody been there before? God said, I will amply supply every single one of your needs. I am where I am today, not because of Jovan, but because of a great God. And I want to remember all that he has done for me. Now, I'm not trying to say that God showing up is him changing something, but sometimes the greatest way God showed up was him changing me. Because when I think about what I used to be, when I think about where I used to act, when I think about where I used to go and what I used to pursue in my life, it was nothing but the grace of God coming in, saving, pulling me out of the lifestyle, out of the thinking, out of the ways for where I used to be. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect today, but I'm saying that I'm not where I used to be. And that gap is not because of Jovan, but because of God. But see, here's the problem, church. For me, I forget. I forget just how good God has been. God has blessed me so much. The things that I can't even think of, God has blessed me. God has moved certain people out of my life. God has moved me in a direction. God has positioned me in places. God has blessed me, and I don't even know how much he's blessed me. But I forget about that. You want to know why? Because I think life's about me. I think life's about what I do, about my credit score, about my education, about where I live, about how big my family is, about how big my biceps are. Life's not about what I do, but rather life's about what God has done in my life. And church, if you can take a quick second, for those who know God, can you take a step back and think about where you were before? About how God came in and how he rescued you. Because here's the thing, you can't go to God, but God comes to you. Why does God come to you? Because he wants to save you. He wants to pull you out. He wants to take you out of something that you're currently in, and he wants to take you out so you can be in somewhere else. But I forget about that. Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget just how good God has been to me in my life. And it's easy to miss out because we live in a noisy world. We live in a world where everybody is trying to keep up. Everybody is trying to outdo everyone else. Everyone's trying to have more followers. Everyone wants to have a bigger car and a bigger house and a bigger family. Everybody is competing, but life's not about what I get, but what's been given. And here's the thing, that thing that's been given, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve to be standing on this stage today. Maybe some of you are like me today. I should be dead. I should be dead. But if it had not been for God showing up in my life, I wouldn't have one to begin with. Church, that's what it's all about. My identity is not in what I do. My identity is what's been done for me. My family and my marriage and my career, it wouldn't be where it needs to be. And that's, again, I'm not saying that I've arrived and I've got it all together, but it's been nothing by the hand and by the work and by the goodness, by the love, by the grace of God, because it's on him. And church, it's not on me. Our identity is not in what we do. Our identity is remembering what God has done for us. And here's the truth about all of this. When we wrap our heads around just how good God has been, God's goodness should be apparent in the way that I live. Right? The way God has been good to me should be apparent in the way that I walk in my life. right? Because I don't live life so people can see Jovan. I live life so people can see God. I live my life so people can see just how much God has been good to me. So therefore, Christianity in church is not about teaching morality and not about teaching all this. It's about saying I was struggling then and I still struggle now, but now I have a Savior and now I have a calling and now I have been rescued and now that I can walk, and that's my life now. But it wasn't on me. It's all because of God. We have to acknowledge just how good God has been. We have to acknowledge just how good God has been. But today I want to talk about remembering, but also responding. Remembering, but also responding. Because when I remember how good God has been to me, that gives me hope to what God can do for me. The reason why people are sitting where they're at today, because they don't remember. It was God that brought you where you are. And what gives me hope is that if God did it then God's going to continue to do it again. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. God is more faithful than your wife, than your husband, than your career, than your bank account. God is faithful. And I want to remember just how much he's done. Because I want to know that he can continue to do. And because of what he's done, that's how I live. We've been studying a passage. We've been studying a book for the last several weeks out of the Bible, the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. It's written by one of the greatest men to ever live. His name is the Apostle Paul. Scholars say that there were two great people that lived on this world. Number one was Jesus, and number two was the Apostle Paul. A great man for Christianity, a man who helped spread this awesome message. And one of the things that he did, and one of the things that was consistent in a lot of his writings, he's responsible for writing almost all of the New Testament. One of the things that he's responsible for reminding people is just how good God is. He's trying to get them to understand. He's trying to get them to fathom just how good God has been. Because here's the thing. Here's God and here's you. Here's a perfect God and here's you. And because God is so perfect, we don't deserve everything that he's done. So we need to acknowledge that great work in our lives. And he needs to inspire the way that we live. We live not just so I can get, but because it's already been given. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He wrote this book to this church in Ephesus. We know it as the book of Ephesians. And it's a 6-chapter book. I encourage you to read it. It's a great, great read. And for the first few chapters, before we understand where we're at, because we got to understand this one thing called context. When you read the Bible, you got to read it with context. For the first 3 chapters, before we get into our reading, Paul has just been commanding them to understand who God is. And what God has done. Paul has been talking about this idea that because of God in Christ, we belong to a heavenly family. You may not like your family. You may not talk to your family. You may be the black sheep of your family, but that's not your reality. Your reality is that you belong to a royal family, that you have a heavenly father who happens to be a king, seated high, sustaining all in all. That's what he wants them to understand. He wants them to soak this in. He's trying to get them to understand forgiveness. He's trying to get them to understand redemption and how God has redeemed us and brought us back. He talks about because of our faith, we now have access to promises, access to hope, access to this great, amazing love. One of my favorite parts is when he picks up in chapter 2, if you read it, he talks about how we have a great purpose. Because sometimes a lot of us can wake up feeling purposeless. And worthless, and not enough. But he says, for you to feel enough, it's not about you, but it's because of Christ has done for you. My enough is not on me, but it's what God has done for me. So therefore, I am enough. Paul is trying to get them to understand this thing called foundation. He's trying to build the foundation of the way that they live. Because without foundation, you can't have the right application. right? Sometimes people try to do the application without understanding the foundation. And one can't go without the other. You can't just apply if you don't know. And you can't just have it and then not actually do it. So we got to have the proper foundation so we can understand the right application. Paul is just giving them a history lesson. You know how people say that you shouldn't live in your past? Well, I think in this concept, I think that's false. Because sometimes when I remember, it helps me to walk forward. Sometimes when I remember, it's what gives me rest. And what I remember then gives me faith now. Because God is faithful. And God's faithfulness precedes transformation in my life. God's faithfulness precedes transformation in the way that I live. Because if God was there for me then, God's going to continue to be there for me again. And I'm going to live this type of way. The Apostle Paul is now going to pick up and want us to transition to, now that you understand just how much God loves you, just how much God has been there for you, just how much God has showed up in your life, your value in Christ. Now he wants to talk about Christ's value in you. He talked about our value in Christ, and now he wants to talk about Christ's value in you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 is where we're picking up at. And he talks about it like this. He says, therefore, remember, I just preached the therefore. Therefore is a big word in the New Testament. Therefore represents what he was just talking about then, but now he's going to talk about now. He says, therefore, since I've given you all this information, since I've reminded you, since I brought you in, since I've enlightened your brain and enlightened your heart, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, we'll talk about that in a little bit, I implore you, I beg you, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. Paul is saying this, we are called to build our lives off the faithfulness of God. Your relationships with God is because of his faithfulness to you. And because God has been faithful to you, Paul is encouraging us to live it out in your life. Because at the end of the day, I want to be a product of what God has done. I'm not a product of my environment. I'm not a product of what my dad did or what my mom didn't do or what my school didn't do or what my job didn't do. I'm a product of what God has already done. Paul is saying, let that be your reality. Let that be the way that you live, by remembering all that God has done for you in your life. Paul says, let God's great reputation, you may not have such a great reputation, but God's got a perfect reputation. Let God's great reputation become your reality, because what you make your reality soon becomes your identity. And the problem is, we make what's going on with us, we make what's wrong with us, what somebody did to us, our reality. But friends, our feelings are not in our reality. What happened is not our reality. What's been done and what's going to continue to happen is our reality. It's where we should live. It's where we should position ourselves. And now, since we know it, guess what, church? Let's start to show it. You see that? Now that you know it, let's start to show it. Start to live it. Paul is saying, walk towards that. Because here's the thing we need to understand. The best me is when I look like him. My marriage doesn't need me. My marriage needs Christ in me. My job doesn't need me. My job needs Christ in me. My ministries, anything that I'm involved in, it doesn't need Jovan. The world doesn't need another Jovan. It needs Christ in me. People need to see just how good God has been, just how much God has changed, just how good the Lord has been in my life. And they need to see that more than anything else. Paul is saying, now walk towards that. Walk. When you walk, you have a sense of direction. You know where you're going when you walk. You're pointing towards a certain type of way. And now he's saying, I want you to point your life towards what God has done in your life. I want you to live your life. I want you to live in a certain way, which is called your calling.
the evidence that God is at work in my life is determined by how I approach my calling. Because church, you have a calling. It's this very, very famous word in the New Testament. A calling means this, that first of all, in order to have a calling, you have to be called, right? Called meaning God comes to you. You didn't become a Christian on your own. God comes to you. God whispers to you. God says, come out. God says, come forward. God says, walk with me. Stop doing this. Come with me. Don't go after that. Come with me. And now when you receive it in your calling, you start to reveal it. When you receive it, you start to reveal it. And you do that in your calling. See, church, my calling is a lifestyle. It's what I do. It's who I am. My calling is a lifestyle. Christianity, in and of itself, it's a lifestyle. It's not something that I put on when it comes to Sunday morning. It's not something that I just do once in a while. It's something that's lived out at my job. It's something that is lived out at my house, in my marriage. Christianity shows up everywhere with me. My calling is something God gave to me, so therefore I want to be faithful to it, because in the beginning he was faithful to me first. So I don't want to walk in the way in which God has called me in my life. And here's the thing, the bottom line of our calling, the bottom line to which God is asking you to do, here's what he says. Your calling, you are to be conformed into the image of Christ, into a dying world. Let me remind you one more time. This world doesn't need another you. It needs Christ in you. We don't need another president. We need a president that has Christ in him or her. You see what I'm saying? It's when we are conformed. It's when we are transformed. It's when we are being renewed into his perfect image. Paul wants us to understand this. Our calling, it's a great responsibility. It's a great reward that God wants to use a broken, imperfect man or woman. If you know you and if you know God and God is saying, live out, walk like this, do this, people will see you. Jesus said it himself, for people will see your good deeds and give praise to your heavenly Father. That's what we're called to do. We're called to show what God has done in our lives, where God has brought me from. Listen, my life's not perfect, but it wouldn't be life at all if he weren't with me. If he didn't show up, if he didn't save me. Paul says, walk that way. Don't walk in a way because of how your finances are, because of where your job is, or because of who left you, or who doesn't love you. He says, walk in a way because of what God has done for you. I won't let the distractions of this world distract and put off what God has done for me. I won't let fear, and I won't let depression, and I won't let loneliness, and I won't let anxiety, I won't let any of those things distract just how good God has been. Because when I remember, I understand that he can do it again and again and again. And my job is to walk. Listen to this. Your calling is a great reward, but it's a high price. It's a high price. And Paul wants us to understand what our calling looks like. Paul says this, my calling is to please God alone. If you're taking down notes, you need to circle, you need to underline, please God alone. Most of my stress, most of my anxiety, most of my insecurity, because I think it's my responsibility to please others. I think it's my responsibility to make other people happy. Because here I am putting all my strength into others while I'm losing strength in myself. My job and my calling is to please God alone. That's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm called to do. I don't live till I can get others' approval. I live from a place that I've already been approved. I live from a place where I've already been called enough. I don't work to be enough. I'm already enough. Why? He showed me and he revealed it to me. And since he revealed it to me, it's going to be revealed in me. I don't work to be enough. God says you already are. You already are. You already are. You don't need to have other people like you. I don't know about you, but that's my biggest struggle. I think you have to like me. Right now, I'm digging it back in my head. Do they like me? But to be honest, church, I don't do this for you. I don't do this for you. I do it because of what's been done for me. I know that may sound harsh, but I do it because of what's been done for me. My job is to please God alone. Because Paul goes further. Paul goes, he says, walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling, right? Walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling. Then he brings up these certain qualities. Look what he brings up. He talks about walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling to which you have been called with all humility, with gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another, meaning being patient for one another, bearing them in love, being diligent to preserve unity in the spirit of bond and peace. Here's the thing. I do the opposite of what Paul has just wrote to us. Because here's the thing. I am not a humble person. What gets me in trouble is because I'm a selfish person. I am not a patient person. I was in Giant Eagle the other day, self-checkout, 2 items. This lady, 900 items, gets in front of me. Like, honey, are you serious? I'll say nothing but holy words, like, God loves you. God wants favor on you. I don't know what this is. God wants favor in your life. But here's the thing. I can't attain those qualities unless Christ is within me. Because I can't do that on my own. I can't do any of this on my own. You can't be, you're just naturally not a humble person. We're naturally not patient people. If you see me in my car in traffic, you'll be like, how is he a pastor? We're just naturally not like that. So we need Christ within us to have these things in us. So my calling is to please God alone. Number two, my circumstances, my issues, my situations, my brokenness doesn't distract my calling. Rather, my calling gets me through all of that. Because look what the Apostle Paul wrote. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote. He says, therefore I, watch this, a prisoner of the Lord, or a prisoner for the Lord. If you understand the context of this, the Apostle Paul was a man who was persecuted for his faith. He was persecuted for preaching the gospel. And Christianity wasn't so popular then. And because of him preaching the gospel, he was thrown into prison, right? He was thrown into prison. He was wrongfully charged. But here is Paul saying this. What I love about Paul is Paul always knew how to flip it. Paul knew that because of what God has done for me, it doesn't stop what God can do through me. It doesn't matter if you put bars in front of me. It doesn't matter if you put chains on me. It doesn't matter. The calling in my life doesn't stop. Because Paul says, I'm not enslaved to Rome. That's where he's in right now at that moment. He says, I'm not enslaved to these chains. I'm enslaved to God himself. I'm not enslaved to what's going on to me. I'm enslaved to what God has done through me and for me. And here's the thing. My condition in my life won't stop and it won't take away my position in Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on to me. It doesn't matter what people have done to me. As long as Christ is for me, in me, working through me, I'm good. Paul says it doesn't stop my calling. And I wish I had a little bit of that type of integrity in my life. Because again, church, I allow what's going on to distract what's in. I allow what's going on to distract what God can do within. Paul says, I'm a prisoner, not of these chains, but because of the change God has done in me. I'm not a prisoner of these chains. I'm a prisoner of change. I'm not enslaved to what's going on. I'm a slave to what happened and what's going to happen because of God's faithfulness. My circumstances that I face doesn't stop God's calling in my life. Number three, I'm going to end like this. My calling is to build God's kingdom, not mine. Let me say that again. My calling, our calling, is to build God's kingdom and not mine. My issue is that I think life's about me. That's my problem. I think life's about me. But here's the thing. I can't save you, and you can't save me.
I can't save you and you can't save me. So what I need to do and what I need to invest in and what I need to remember is that it's my job to show who he is more than who I am. He must become greater. I must become less. He must become greater and I must become less. Church, it is our job to proclaim and to profess the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. My marriage, my career, my family, my personal life. Listen, that's because of the work of God. I am where I am because of who he is. People need to see Jesus more than they see you. Because this is what gives us hope. This is what gives us strength. This is what gives us joy. That I remember where I was and what I am now. Anybody over 25 know what I'm talking about? I say that for a reason because I'm 26. So that's the purpose of the church. Is that when people walk in who have never heard of God, who don't even know who God is, I tell them, listen, I'm not worried about your behavior. I just want to point you to the one who saved me. I'm not worried about your lifestyle. God does all that. My job is to reveal what he's done in me. As I remind people, I was at where you're at right now. I was there. I was lost. And I was lonely. And I was devastated. But because of his work, it's where I am today. Can we be that church? Can we be that church that will remind people, I don't care how you walk through those doors, if you encounter God, you're going to walk out different. Not encounter rules, but if you encounter God, you're going to walk out different. Let me say a quick prayer. God, I forget just how good you have been. I forget that I was a man that was lost. I was a man that was doing my own thing, living my own way. But somehow, some way, you came and you found me. And you rescued me. And you pulled me out. And because you pulled me out, you then called me to live out what you've done in me. Now, God, I ask you that I would always be reminded of how good you've been. And I pray for the saints in this room that they would be reminded just how far they have come. And it's not because of their effort, but it's because of your perfect grace. I am where I am because of what you have done. Help us to be reminded of that. Help us to be the church that walks that's looking more like you than anything else. But we have to remember where you brought us and what you taught us. I pray that all these things would bring honor and glory to your son's name. In Jesus' name is who I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.